Well, good morning, everyone. It is truly a pleasure. It's an honor to be here this morning. It is it's a joy to look out and see so many people here who have chosen to be here this morning, who have chosen to, you could be anywhere you wanted to be. This morning, you could be anywhere you wanted to be, and you chose to be here. And it's exciting not only because you chose to be with us, but you chose to come and to recognize the internal presence of God and to worship Him. And I hope that so far that it's been that it's been a worship, it's been an experience, it's been a time when you can feel close to God because He wants to be close to each one of us. I want to start this morning first of all saying this first part is. For all our visitors, on the back we have of the back of this order of worship that you were handed, there's an outline. I am going to be loosely paying attention to this. So what you can do is when things go up on the board or whatever, you can write them down and, you know, kind of helps you keep up or helps you, you know, to kind of know what's going on or at least keep you awake. You know, I'm under no delusions that this is, you know, but this is for you, and just kind of follow along, and that's the outline of the sermon. But what I want to say to begin is not in the outline, and that is that today there are people here that aren't usually here, and that's not a bad thing that you're not usually here. It's a great thing that you're here today. And that's what I want to really tell you about this morning. Every once in a while I'll go to the gym and work out. And when I mean every once in a while, I mean like three times a year. I hate it. And I always feel bad about myself when I go there because there's people there that, you know, they got the Under Armour on the top. You know, Under Armour implies that you go under something. But no, they wear it on, and that's, you know, it's all the ripped and the what are those called? Abs. Yeah, mine's not plural, it's an ab. And, you know, they got the muscles and the bench, you know, and they, you know, they say things like, if the bar ain't bending, then you're just pretending. Thinking, nobody likes you much. And I feel bad about myself. But then there's these people there that I love. And they're the trainers. Oh, and they look good too, but they don't wear the tighter. They understand people like me that don't need to look at their ripped muscles and feel even worse. So they'll wear the sweatpants and the, you know, a little bit baggier shirt and they'll talk about how hard the workout is for them too. And I kind of believe it. And when I tell them, I'm just never here and I can't do it, and I'm just so out of shape and this, and you know what they tell me? Hey, you're here now. You're here now. And that's what's important. You're here now. And that inspires me. And I go more than three times a year. I'm just kidding, but I know you can't tell it. But it's those pizzas and cakes and all that stuff in between visits. But you're here now. And I want you to know, we want you to be here. And church, for whatever experience you've had, you know what? Church is not about being a good person. It's not. Because, you know, those of us who are here every week, we know we're not particularly good people. We know what we do wrong. I mean, we're nice and we're this and that and we're trying, but we're not perfect. We're far from it. And the church is not a place, it isn't a museum for the super spiritual. It's a hospital for those who are injured. And the staff has a cast and needs an IV most of the time. So if you're here today and you think, well, I can't go to church, or that's not good enough. Neither am I. But you're here now, and church isn't about being a good person. It's about experiencing God. It's about coming into contact with the true and living God who loves you right now more than anything else that He has created ever. And I want you to know that there is nothing that you can do right now to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. There's nothing that you can stop doing to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. So don't think, oh, I can't go to church. I'll go on that day because I have this friend who just, you know, is just, Friends Day, the food's so good. Yeah. All right, I'll go. But I'm not coming back. Well, come back. Experience God over and over and over again. And you'll find something that is unique about experiencing God is that He will get a hold of your heart. And He will take this heart of stone, and His word tells us, and I've experienced this, and I'm not a perfect person, and I'm, just ask my wife, ask my kids, they'll tell you. But I've experienced this, where He takes this heart of stone, this bitter, this jaded, this full of doubt heart of stone, and over time and through experiences, He just turns it into this beautiful heart of flesh. That recognizes His love and loves Him back and is willing to give up those things so reluctantly sometimes that He wants me to give up. And you experience this unity. You experience this family right here. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and we were lamenting sometimes how family lets you down and how family disappoints and how family can mistreat you. And she said, you know, I don't have any family left. And then she stopped crying and she looked at me because she knew what I was going to say. I said, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. I said, you've got about 120 of the closest family members that you'll ever have that meet here every Sunday with you. And she said, you're right. And she said, well, but what about Thanksgiving? I said, hey, you know who I had Thanksgiving with last year? Wasn't my blood family. It was these people right here. You know who I had Thanksgiving with the year before? These people right here. Yeah, we'll just find a house and crash it. We don't care. Just lock your doors. Hines family might show up for Thanksgiving. But this is a family. And yeah, we don't get it all right, but we love each other. And we love the Lord. And when things go bad, as they often do, we're there. And we'll pick you up, and we'll be right by your side. We might not be able to fix it, but we'll suffer through it with you. And then when things go good, you have somebody that'll be there to mirror your excitement. Because doesn't that make good times even better? When somebody's there, and the good thing didn't even happen to them, but they're just thrilled because you're thrilled. That's what this place is about. Whatever. Experience you have with church. I'm really not interested in that at all. I'm interested in helping you experience God. And so come be a part of this. And you'll find some purpose and all kinds of things. All right, that's for free. Let's get into the lesson, shall we? I worked hard on this part today, this last month. This morning, I want to talk. Our theme for today is there's no place like home. You remember the movie, The Wizard of Oz? You know, when Dorothy, and she gets, she's in her house, and a big tornado comes and just picks her up and takes her to the land of Oz, and she goes and she has all these experiences, and she meets all these interesting people, and she sees all these interesting things, and she, you know, there's some things that are scary, there's some things that are exciting, she learns about herself, she learns about other people. I don't know, all these things happen, and it's just out of this world, and the whole time she keeps saying, there's, you know, I want to go home. I want to go home. And at the end of the movie, you know, the witch or the princess or whatever, the lady there who's helping her get home, you know, Glinda, I believe her name was, or something like that. She's like, oh, there's no place like home. And so she clicks her heels together three times and is like, just say there's no place like home. And she does that. And then she said, no, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And now That movie is however many years old. And all across the country, you can go into kitchens and foyers and living rooms and homes and see crocheted or needlepoint or cross-stitched. There's no place like home. I think there might be something to that. I think there might be something to there's no place like home. Eli read eloquently, by the way, this morning. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. God understands there's no place like home. You know, there's a lot of sayings that, you know, home is where, fill in the blank, home is where the heart is. You know, you can write down, I think it's one of the bullet points, you know, home is where, and I don't have an answer for that. Home is where what? Home is where you look on the internet, and home is where your story begins. There was one quote. Home is where you treat your friends like family. Home is where you come in through the back door. We have, are we, you know, front door, back door. You know, there's two kinds of people, the front door, back door people. And then there's the garage, you know, people go, you know, we're back door people. I don't even know what our front door looks like. But your home is where you come in through the back door. Home is where you know where all the stuff to make a sandwich is. But I saw one I thought was funny. Home is where your Wi-Fi connects automatically. For those of the retired generation, you see Wi-Fi is the stuff that, and it, you know, you get on the internet and, you know, we'll explain later. Home is where the Wi-Fi connects. It's just, the reality is that home is special. There's no place like it. There's no place like it. Home is comfortable. I mean, it's just, it's where you're comfortable, isn't it? You know, if you are, if you're a neat freak and you know who you are, isn't it just everything has its place and everything's in its place? And that's comfortable. Okay, I'm not that guy. Everything's everywhere and I know where it all is. And if I need it, I can see it. And if I don't, I'll step over it. That's comfortable for me. That's my home. Now, my wife, on the other hand, that's uncomfortable for her. So we have these, shall we say, discussions about that. But it's whatever it is, it's comfortable, is it? If you're a neat freak, you're comfortable with everything tidy. If you're a slob, not mentioning any names, Lily, you're comfortable when everything is just piled up everywhere. But home is comfortable, isn't it? I mean, home, you know, you got your TV set up right where you want. You know, the kitchen is arranged just how you like it. You ever tried to cook a meal in someone else's house? And someone else's home, and you go to where the spices should be, and these idiots keep the Tupperware there. What are they thinking? And then you go to where the pots and pans are, and it's like, really? Really? That's where you keep the cereal? Who are you? You don't know where anything is. And it's all in the wrong places. But to them, it's just right where it should be. You know, ooh, silverware. Knives. I have here dog food, whatever. Home is comfortable. It's where we know where everything is. It's where we just fit. I contend that's why we're not so comfortable here all the time. And I'm not talking about here in church. I'm not talking about we're not comfortable in church. I'm talking about we're not comfortable on this earth. In this experience, in these bodies, we're not comfortable a lot, are we? Because this isn't our home. You see, we're uncomfortable, or at least we should be, because we're not home. And God is trying to explain that to us. God is trying to explain to us through experiences and through an interaction with us is that Home is where you're comfortable. Home is where you'll feel the best. Home is where you just fit in. Home is where you will know where everything is, and everything will be in or out of its place, however you like it. But home is where you're comfortable. And if you're uncomfortable this morning, if life is not comfortable for you, if life doesn't have meaning or purpose, or if you struggle with it and you just don't know what to do, God is saying with outstretched arms, please just come home. Just come home. Because it's comfortable there. Because it's comfortable. He says, you know, whenever you go on vacation, vacation's nice, isn't it? But then there's that point when you're like, I just want to go home. I just want to sleep in my own bed. You ever been on, you know, just think, we playing baseball and traveling with a baseball team, and, you know, this year the All-Star Baseball Tournament was in Winchester, the state tournament. Our team made it to that, and we were so excited about that because the guys were saying, you know, and the kids like to go on vacation. You know, they like to go sleep in the hotels, and they're like, oh, yeah, we get to go in the hotel. But a lot of them were like, no, I like it because we get to sleep in our own bed at night. I mean, there's just something about your own bed. It's got your funk on it, you know? I mean, you just sort of fit in there. You know, you've got your little indentions. It's got your pillow. You know, that's one thing. I don't know about, but when I go to sleep, I just like to dig my face all in that pillow. When I'm at a hotel, I'm thinking, who else has dug their face all in this pillow? Wah! And now I can't sleep. So what do? We take our pillow. But God said, you want to sleep in your own bed at night? Come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my burden. You're carrying a burden, an unnatural burden. You're carrying this vacation, this uncomfortable, not what you're supposed to burden. He says, come, let me take that. Let me give you a burden that's easy and it's light. Sleep in your own bed for a change. I will give you rest. Oh, there's no place like home. So where is this? Where is this home you're speaking about, preacher? What are you talking about? And well, let me tell you. You know what? You know where we fit in, where we're the most comfortable, where we just sort of blend and it works. The first thing I want to tell you about is heaven. You see, heaven is our home. And you think, well, goodness, Shane, that's great, but you know, everybody, what's the song? Everybody wants to go heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. Well, okay, I understand. Because typically we think about, oh, I want to go to heaven, but I'm kind of worried about how you get there. None of us are real keen on that idea. And I get that. I go to the doctor too. I wear my seatbelt. But heaven's our home. And heaven is this, I mean, it's this interesting thing to think about. Because the Bible describes heaven in a lot of different ways. And, you know, it's these streets of gold and pearly gates and seas of crystal. And there's a lot of clouds and a lot of strange figures flying about. Because you hear about in Isaiah 6 where there was these winged angels, these cherubim and these seraphim. And they had these wings and they were covering parts of their bodies with it. And they were flying and they were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so we think about heaven and we're like, whoa, that's odd. But we're taught from early on, oh, we want to go to heaven, we want to go to heaven. Well, I don't know what it's like. I know that the Bible describes it in otherworldly ways. I know that it's described in physical ways so that we will understand that heaven is just magnificent. It's just better. But you know the one thing that over and over and over again that I realize about heaven and what makes it exciting to be my home is that heaven is in the presence of God. That when people say, well, what's heaven going to be like? I don't know. And there's books about it. There's all you can read and believe. But you know the one thing that over and over and over I come across is that heaven is the place where God is. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says that the Word, Jesus, God Himself, came down here and he dwelt among us. The Greek word there means that he tented out, he tabernacled with us. The fact is that God condescended to this place to make His home here. To make His home here. God came and lives among us. And when we think about heaven, it's one thing to think about the streets of gold and the this and the, all the other worldly things. But really, the greatness about it is that God is there. And wherever God is, He has said that experience will be better than anything that you've ever experienced. He describes it as paradise. He describes it as rest. He describes it as feast. He describes it as all of these wonderful things. He describes it as beautiful. He describes it as perfect. He describes it in ways that talk about there are no tears there. There's no sickness. There's none of that. Because He is there. And Jesus says, if you'll obey me, I'll come and I'll make my home with you. I'll come and you'll experience heaven. Which gets me to the last thing I want to tell you, is that here can be like heaven. That's the reality. That's what I want you to hear this morning. And not just church, but this life, this experience. Your day-to-day life can be like heaven. Not completely heaven, but like heaven. Because you see, the reality is that we were made to be in relationship with God. That is the reason He made us. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, way back in creation, God made us to be in relationship with each other, and more importantly, in relationship with Him. And sin entered the world, and so therefore death entered the world through sin, and the relationship was severed. But God didn't, that wasn't good enough for Him to leave that relationship severed. So He comes and he redeems that relationship. He fixes it. He takes all of our sin, all of our transgressions, all of our disappointments, all of our everything, and he puts it on His own shoulders. And in this miraculous act of love and compassion, He takes it to the cross, and all of the wrath of God because of all of our sin, past, present, and future, millenniums ago and all to come, every bit of the wrath, the anger, the madness of God was poured out on Himself so that we could have this relationship again. That's it. So that we could experience heaven here. So we could experience the presence of God here. But it's not the perfect presence of God, because we still have these broken physical bodies. We still live in a broken physical world. I mean, think about it. The Bible tells us that sin even broke the ground. It said thorns and thistles and weeds and all of this grow up. They choke out good things and they poison your lawn. Well, not your lawn, Jim, but everyone else's lawn. You want to see a little bit of heaven on earth? There's no thorns or thistles in Jim Tucker's lawn. Let me just tell you that right now. But it broke the ground. It broke the earth. And so we can't experience God. We can't experience His presence in the perfect way that we will, but we can experience it some. And you know how you do that? By loving Him, by first of all, experiencing Him. Because, you know, we talk about loving God. Oh, we need to love God. We need to love God. Isn't that a hard thing to do? And some of us are thinking, oh, no, I love God. Well, of course you do. You've had 20, 30 years of experiencing Him, so you do. But if you're here this morning and you've been estranged, if you've been hurt, if you've been confused, if you've been disappointed, and God, it's hard to love. It is hard to love somebody that you've never, ever had any experiences with. But you start having experiences with God. You start getting to know God, and love just sort of happens. You know, if you're married, did you decide to love your husband? Did you choose to love your wife? No. It just sort of happened. You just sort of hung out together. You know, you went to the movies. You went and got a bite to eat. Had some ice cream. Went to the park. Whatever. Went bike riding. Hung out. Went bowling. You just did stuff together. And then you realize, you know what? I like her. I like him. And then you spent more time together. And then you realize, I don't want to ever be away from this person. Some of you are thinking, I thought that? But it just sort of happens. You see, that's how loving God, and let me tell you, love is a choice. At its root, love is a choice. Because love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, it doesn't boast. All in 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, you know, love trusts, it always believes, it always hopes. Everything about love is a choice, but to get us to that decision, it just happens through interaction with each other. And God said, here can be like heaven if you choose to experience me. That's what he means by, if you'll obey me, I'll come and I'll make my home in you. If you'll trust me, I will come and I will live in you. I will live amongst you. I will dwell with you, and you will experience heaven even in the most brokenest places on earth. You'll experience it. That's what that scripture says. Anyone who loves me, well, they'll obey my teaching. You think, that's the fine print. See, I knew you were going to get to being a good person at some point. No, I'm not. Google the teachings of Jesus. Just Google it. Jesus' teachings are not that hard. They're really not. You know, Jesus isn't the one who said, got to go to church every Sunday. No, I think it's a good thing to do. Jesus isn't the one who said, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do. Jesus is the one who said, just love each other. Just be nice to each other. So just accept that my Father wants to save you, and see how that makes you feel about yourself. Accept my Holy Spirit into you, and see how that makes you react to people. The teachings of Jesus are simple. The teachings of Jesus are, do you want to be saved and live with my Father and I and the Holy Spirit in heaven forever? Yes, I do. Okay, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to ascend and sit at my Father's right hand, and I'm going to intercede for you. And when the wrath of God that should pour out on you, it will have already poured out on me. And then when God sees you, He will see me, and you will be okay. That's the teachings of Jesus. You want to obey those. You want to trust Jesus for your salvation. Do you want to trust Jesus for your happiness? Or do you want to go on every day doing exactly what you did yesterday and reaping exactly the same feelings and benefits and whatever? But Jesus says, if you'll obey my teachings, if you'll just love me, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just, then... We'll make our home with you. Our home is really with you, and your home is really with us. So why don't we just come together? Heaven can be here That's what Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, you know, the Lord's Prayer, Father in heaven, praised, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God knows there's no place like home. And his home is with us. And ours is with him. And he is saying, just come home. Oh, but you don't know what I... Just come home. Yeah, but I don't... Just come home. But I don't know where... You might have changed some things. It might look different and you're going to just... Just come home. Just come home. There's no place like it. Sleep in your own bed tonight because there's no place like home. And you might be thinking, well, you know, I've been away a long time. It's okay. I was away a long time once. And I realized there's no place like home. But you might think, well, you can just come back. No questions asked. There's no judgment. There's no forms to fill out. Just accept that God loves you, and we try our very level best to be him here in this place. You might be thinking, well, I've never been there. I don't know what home feels like. Well, let's talk about that. Let me tell you about confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, about being baptized in the forgiveness, the eternal forgiveness of his blood, and living today resurrected from the death of your sin. There's no place like home. If you have any questions, if you have any desires, if you need to pray, be prayed with, have someone pray for you, if you need to confess him and be baptized, whatever you need, if you need to come home, you can do that. Just meet me here up front. Catch me after church, whatever you need. But if you want to come forward and have us talk about it right now, you have that opportunity to do so as together we stand and as we sing.